This is the Michael K. Show.
With the second pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
I think the pro day really helped solidify the decision.
I wouldn't believe it till the day it happened, but this is exactly what I was hoping for. I'm so excited for the opportunity. And I know we're going to have something special, and so I can't wait to get to work. These guys need a good quarterback, a good leader, and I think I got those qualities, and I can't wait to go in there. I love the coaching staff. I love everything they have to offer, and I can't wait to get to New York City.
The Michael K. Show.
Robert, is your plan to make him your week one starter?
I love y'all, man. They weren't kidding when they said New York media was aggressive.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, Jet fans are excited. It certainly has been a source of conversation for the longest time, and it finally happened last night. He strode out from the green room and took his place in the Jet firmament. He will be their quarterback, whether he starts in the first game or not. You heard what Robert Saleh said to the question. He's going to start at some point, and the Jets are hoping that he's here for the next 15 to 20 years. But he's here right now on the Michael K. Show, joining us on the flagship home of the New York Jets. Zach Wilson, congratulations. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited. Having a blast.
All right, so when did you know, okay, the Jets are taking me, and what was your initial feeling when you knew they were it had to be before, obviously, you got the call in the green room?
Yeah, well, there's obviously some suspense, right? You know, obviously thinking, you know, that was going to be the move, you know, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what, don't assume anything until it really happens. So I was really trying to, you know, stay optimistic about it, hoping that would be the move. And, you know, finally, you know, when the call came in, that's when it all just, you know, felt so real.
You know, it's been a foregone conclusion for so long, Zach, that you would be the number two pick and that it would be the Jets, but when was it, during the season or when the season ended? When did you begin to realize that you could be picked that high?
You know, it honestly wasn't until after the season. You know, I was, you know, when I declared and decided to come out, you know, I was praying to be a first round guy, hopefully second. You know, I did feel like once coaches and or GMs or whoever was evaluating had the chance to dive into our film more and to find out a little bit more about me, that I was hoping I'd be able to climb up draft boards and stuff a little bit. But, you know, really, I didn't ever really assume that.
All right. So, Zach, if there's any negative at all attached to the pick, then, you know, the people that don't love the Zach Wilson pick, they'll say, well, who did he play? BYU didn't play anybody. So what do you say to those people, Zach?
Well, I think the coolest part is if you understand, like, what coaches are looking for and GMs are looking for in a player. I mean, you start to figure out the decisions they're making, the time and to when they throw it, you know, the sequence and within the play. And I think if you watch, you know, the plays with absolutely no defense on the field, and you're just to say, you know, what kind of throw is this that they're making? You know, what kind of plays are they making? You know, and then how impressive is that? You know, you absolutely don't need a defense on the field. And then if you also understand, you know, a cover defender is a cover defender, you know, no matter if it's a SEC player or Mountain West guy. I mean, if someone's covered and then you're fitting the ball into a tight window in a zone, then, you know, then that's, you know, something coaches can evaluate on. And I think it goes all the way back to how many successful players there are that have come from different schools. You know, it's cool to see Trey Lance go at the third pick coming from a FCS school. You know, it's great to see how you can have such amazing situations coming from small schools.
Go ahead, Don.
No, please, Peter, go ahead.
Zach, is there any quarterback in particular? We've heard names, really impressive names, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. You know, for NFL comps for you, obviously those are sort of dreams to aspire to. Who do you watch right now in the league who you really, in some ways, you know, try to model your game off of?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Those guys are amazing. You know, I'm watching a little bit of everybody. You know, obviously we dove into Tom Brady a lot this past offseason because you want to know what that guy does to win. You want to know, you know, how he can completely turn a franchise around and go in there and you know, it's obviously not just him. It's something that, you know, that he's doing in the locker room to elevate the guys around him. And everyone obviously hops on with what he's doing and what the coaches are doing. So, you know, I watch a little bit of every quarterback. I think there's, at this level, everyone's impressive. You know, I just make sure I get the rounds and I try and, you know, figure out what makes everybody different from every team.
What do you think the big difference will be the jump from college football to the NFL?
Yeah, I think it'll just be like, you know, almost similar to how it was for me from high school to college. And I think that comes from a standpoint of meeting new guys and learning a new offense and adjusting to the flow of the game and the speed of the game. You know, there's going to be, you know, obviously some better athletes. There's going to be Pro Bowlers. There's going to be, you know, guys that, you know, are obviously quite a bit older than you and have a lot of experience playing the game. And I really think it just comes down to adjusting. Time will only tell, you know, as time goes by, you're going to be able to get a better feel for everything that's going on. You're going to be able to understand defenses better, the terminology. And I think, you know, if you just keep working hard through the whole process, it'll work itself out.
Zach, I'm sure you've heard the name Chris Sims. He used to play in the league. Now he evaluates drafts. And he has come out and said that if he was the GM of a team, he would pick Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence. Your reaction to that?
Well, you know, it means absolutely nothing to this point. And I think the cool part is, you know, I think it's so cool because me and all the other quarterbacks, you know, going through this whole draft process, you know, we're not competing with each other. But you know, we're supporting each other because we're all going to different teams and coaches like us for different reasons. And so, you know, Trevor's an amazing player and along with the other quarterbacks in this draft. And so I think it's, you know, one guy's opinion, you know, and I think after the draft, once everyone's on the team, it doesn't matter. You know, it really matters who starts to perform at that stage, who takes it seriously, who handles their priorities, and who plays well.
All right, just your feelings of what it's going to be like to perform on this kind of stage in New York City.
Well, it's going to be exciting. You know, there's not a better place to play than in New York City. You know, some passionate fans that make this game go around. And, you know, seriously, if once we make this thing go right, I mean, there's not a better fan base to play for.
Is there any concern, Zach? Obviously, you've done your homework. I'm sure your family has. We always have Steve Young on every single week. He speaks very highly of you and that you do your homework. The Jets have not been very successful with young quarterbacks. They've been searching for a quarterback since Joe Namath. Does that give you any kind of trepidation as you move into this next phase of your career?
Well, absolutely not. You know, we have an amazing staff, you know, coaches that have come in, and we have players that are hungry to win. And so every single year is a different year. You know, obviously we still got the green jerseys on, and this is still the Jets football team, but every single year is a different football team. And I know these guys are hungry to win, and this ownership is hungry to win. And so, you know, really for me, I just can't wait to get in the locker room, start working with these guys, and you know, really just putting all the pieces together because I know the coaches have a great plan for us, and we're just going to follow what they say, and it's all going to work out.
Zach, you were diagnosed with ADD when you were a kid. How difficult was that to overcome, and how did that, like, help you or hinder you during your childhood?
Yeah, you know, obviously for classes that, you know, I didn't have super interest in, you know, whether it's history class or whatever, you know, obviously some limitations as far as just paying attention. But in my eyes, I look at it as a superpower. You know, it's really something I feel like has benefited me in the sport. You know, it's where I feel like I get some of my creativeness, the ability to, you know, have almost a hyper focus on the things I truly love in life. You know, the reason I can sit there and watch film all day and, you know, get obsessive about, you know, the game of football and everything that it has to bring. You know, I really, truly think that's what makes me special as a person.
All right, so we've heard the story, Zach, but I have to get inside the story. You used to drive from Provo to San Diego every week during the pandemic to work with your quarterback coach. So that's probably like 9 or 10 hours in the car each way. What were you doing or thinking or listening to those 9 or 10 hours that you were driving to San Diego? Was it just focused thinking about what you're going to learn? Or did you listen to music, audiobooks? What did you do to make those 10 hours go by?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. You know, majority of that drive, I was actually listening to Steve Young's book, one of my favorites. You know, so many lessons I learned from his experiences. You know, I had different podcasts on and, you know, things that I just thought would help me, you know, throughout my process and my journey. And, you know, really, I just felt like that drive was a time for me to kind of get away and be on my own and be able to, you know, spend time on how I can be a better football player. I just felt like if I sacrificed, you know, 10 hours there, 10 hours back on my weekend, that, you know, things would eventually pay off for me.
I mean, you used the word sacrifice, Zach. I mean, that's the ultimate sacrifice. Those are 10 hours that you're alone, that you're not with anybody. You can't really have a social life. Did you ever wonder, is this all worth it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, from the first day, I always thought it was worth it. You know, I always told myself, you know, those who make sacrifices and, you know, do extra and prioritize the things that matter most to them and have their goals aligned. You know, are they going to be the ones that, you know, can make something special of it, you know, even though it was tough and maybe not exactly what I wanted to do, and maybe I wanted to go hang out with my friends. You know, I definitely think it's a huge part as to why I'm in this situation now.
Zach, you have I'm sure you work out hard. You stay in great shape. You're a professional athlete now. What's your cheat meal, and do you plan on having a celebratory meal tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, I got a sweet tooth. I mean, I'm sure we're going to find some chocolate somewhere.
Now, I also read when you met with the media today that you said when you were flying in, you saw a lot of golf courses. So you said that you're learning to play golf. When are you going to have the time to golf?
Yeah. You know, I think it's funny because I'm going to be terrible at golf for a couple more years until I can find some time to actually golf. Football is a priority right now. You know, but that's a great relax for me, a great way to get away from the game of football. You know, when you've, you know, spent your entire day studying and preparing, you know, you got to have the ability to step away for a little bit. And I think golf is a cool way to do it.
What are other ways that you kind of decompress and enjoy life outside of football?
Yeah, obviously, you know, getting with my family, you know, going out to a nice dinner, you know, going on a family vacation. I know that's something always important for a lot of people. And, you know, really just anything kind of away, you know, it keeps your mind fresh and you're still in the game, you know, but lets you step away for a little bit. And then it really teaches you, you know, how to really appreciate the game once you come back.
You know, after your sophomore year, you know, we've had your coach from BYU on, they pretty much said, okay, it's going to be a battle for quarterback. After you had started your sophomore year, then you had the injury as well. Did you ever think about, I'm not going to battle, I'm just going to go somewhere else? I mean, what made you fight through that and then win the job?
Well, yeah, that's what's so crazy, right? Football is such a competitive game, and I think that made me a way better competitor for the game, and I gave it everything I had. You know, it was never a challenge I was going to step down from. You know, but it also wasn't a challenge I was going to blame on anybody else. You know, being in that situation was, you know, 100% my fault as to why, you know, maybe I didn't perform the way I should, or maybe I wasn't the best teammate or whatever it was, you know. But, you know, really I just had to put my head down and grind and try and become a better leader and a better football player and learn from my mistakes and just see how I can improve and become the starter.
All right, you had shoulder surgery. Pitchers have shoulder surgery. Quarterbacks have shoulder surgery. They get nervous. Did you ever think this could not – I mean, I might not be able to be a pro if this doesn't work out. Was there any fear when they told you you had to be operated on?
Well, absolutely not. You know, obviously I was nervous as far as, you know, how quickly I could get back, but it never crossed my mind that I would never get back, you know, that I'd never be the same. You know, just a point in my career where I felt like I was, I felt like surgery was the best thing for me. I felt like I was going to be better than I was the year before. And the reason I did it so quick is because I wanted to show NFL teams that, you know, hey, I played two full seasons on it. You know, I came out early, so maybe I would have played three if I needed to show them, you know what, this shoulder is 100% healthy. It feels better than ever, and it's fixed.
You know, you're talking about leadership, and, of course, that's always going to be important. It's always important in this town. There's the lead by example guy. There's the rah-rah guy. What kind of leader do you think you'll be?
Well, you know what? Leadership definitely comes in stages. I would say that lead by example guy is definitely the one you got to start off with when you first get to a team. I mean, if I walk in the locker room and start telling everyone what to do, I promise you no one's going to listen to me. And so, you know, my first goal is to walk in there and show the guys how much I care, how much I'm going to give to this team, and really just work as hard as I can and show them how important it is for me. And then, you know, as obviously time goes by, we build good connections and we can talk through things and we'll be able to figure it out together. And that's what makes, you know, the team and leadership so special.
Talking with Zach Wilson, the new Jets quarterback, drafted number two in the entire first round. Yesterday he's on with us here on the Michael Kay Show. I'm wondering, Zach, the draft process is all-consuming, I would think, and they pick apart every part of your life. They'll criticize things about you. You know, we heard, well, he wasn't a captain. Why wasn't he a captain? Everything is examined. Did it ever get to you? It said, enough. Just look at my film. See what I'm about. Did it ever bother you?
No, absolutely not. You know, I think that's, you know, the adversity you go through and when you hadn't been playing well, and that was one of the things I had to deal with. And the captain thing was one thing. You know, I was able to be a captain before our first game came around. And, you know, the cool part is some of our other captains, I guess, had gone into the head coach and told him they felt like I should have been part of that that captain, you know, group of guys. And I think, you know, really what happened was, is, you know, around the time of the voting and all that kind of thing, is I was still battling for my job. I was still in a competition with three other guys. And you know, how can you have a leader if you don't even know he's going to be the starter? You know, so it really comes back to that, is when you guys are battling through camp and no one knows who the starter is going to be, you're not going to want to, you know, make someone the captain that's sitting on the bench.
Into any other sports besides football? Because we got them all here in New York.
I was a big basketball guy, huge basketball guy growing up. I mean, I'm obviously trying to get into golf. I love playing ping pong with some of my buddies back home. I mean, that was one of my favorite things. But basketball and football, I mean, that's why I'm bad at golf, is because those are the only two sports I played.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, so we've got to get to know you here. So do you like music? If so, what's your favorite band or performer?
I do. I love music. I'm a big, you know, Chris Brown guy, you know, anything that's like that slow R&B. I'm a big country guy as well, you know, Morgan Wallen, Dan and Shay kind of music. And I can listen to that on game day as well. You know, I like to stay cool and calm and, you know, just keep my emotions level.
All right, favorite actor, favorite actress?
Matthew McConaughey. Wow. And then Margot Robbie, for sure. And I'm sure we all know why Margot Robbie.
Yes, we
She's
do.
Pretty great.
Yes, we do. All right, so you said you like sweets. What's your favorite meal? Like, is it a steak? Is it pasta? What do you like?
Yeah, I'm a big pasta guy. You know, I'd say anything with chicken or steak as well. But pasta, chicken, steak, you know, I could eat white rice with anything.
All right, who is the guy or the gal that you would want in a foxhole with you if you needed something?
If I needed something, you know, you're saying my personal family?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely call my dad, you know, first. Obviously, my mom and dad, you know, mean the world to me, and they've always had my back through everything, so they'd be the first I call for anything.
Now, will anybody from your family be here with you? I mean, bottom line, you're the number two pick in the draft, but you're still 21 years old. Will you have family members here to support you?
Yeah, no doubt. No one obviously living in New Jersey, but, you know, we're going to be able to figure out how to get them out and come and experience this whole thing with me, because it's going to be a blast, you know. And I've had family in the area, you know, New Canaan. No one's really that area anymore, but, you know, family travels out this way quite a bit. So we're going to be able to figure out how to have the whole family experiencing it.
Let me read between the lines there. Your family's going to come visit you, but you're going to be out here on your own. I mean, you're not going to have too much.
I'm going to be out here on my own.
There you
exactly.
go. Attaboy. Attaboy.
All right, so if you're a Jet quarterback, Zach, you've got to know the legend of Joe Namath. Do you, and have you spoken to him yet?
I have not. You know, I'm looking forward to it, but I haven't yet. I'm looking forward to it, though.
And how was it meeting Woody Johnson and the Johnson family?
Amazing. You know, both of them, Woody and Christian, are both amazing guys. You know, it was great to meet their kids as well, and we got to hang out at the facility and have a good lunch together.
And you had to love the fact that later on in the first round, Elijah Vera Tucker is picked. So now you've got some protection on the left side with Mekhi Becton. Have you met Elijah yet?
I have not, but I am looking forward to it. You know, I sent him a DM last night, you know, telling him, you know, let's go. Let's get after it, man. And, you know, he's obviously busy, and I'm sure he'll get back to me, you know,
watch
shortly,
any...
but I can't wait to meet him.
Did you watch any tape on Mekhi Becton?
No, but I've seen pictures of him. That tells me enough.
Oh, you're going to enjoy him quite a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you know, we're interviewing a 21-year-old kid, and I always ask this question, Zach. I mean, you worked your life. You're from the time you were a kid to this point. Do you ever sit back and like you're on the plane and you're thinking, "Wow, this really happened"? I mean, can you grasp that this really happened? You're going to be the quarterback for the Jets.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because in one side of me, I'm like, wow, you know, this is nuts. I can't believe I'm in this situation. And on the other side of me, you know, like I expected to be here for myself, you know, the goals and things that I set for myself, you know. So, you know, I just can't wait to get started. And I think that's the biggest thing, is I can't wait to come in and start learning the offense and getting to know these guys.
Sounds great. Zach, we couldn't be happier. The Jet games are on our station, so hopefully we'll talk to you a lot. And best of luck, and we hope that finally the Jets have found their quarterback. And do you expect to be starting from the first game?
You know what? You got to earn that. So I'll come in and I'll worry about it each and every day. You know, I'll make sure I come in and I earn my starting job by how I interact in the locker room, you know, in the weight room, and then obviously how I perform. Whoever performs best is going to be the starter.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Zach, and congratulations.
Thanks, Zach.
Yep, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
I got to tell you, you know, minute clinic right here. That was impressive. First of all, he's 21. He doesn't speak, for the most part, in athlete cliches. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I was impressed early on. I mean, it's a 20-minute interview, but did you guys feel the same way? I thought he came across very well.
Yeah, very genuine, very well-spoken, somebody that seems to be ready for this moment. You know, what it all means at the end of the day, we'll see how he plays on the field. But, yeah, I thought it was very impressive.
He reminds me of Sam in some ways. Really polished, but also gives you some real personality. You know, the hard part for Sam became when we had him on every week, he was such a straightforward, good kid, but he was forced to sort of defend a team that was kind of defenseless week after week. You know, but I get from this kid a good attitude that reminds me of Sam.
Also, I don't know if I've told you this, also very good-looking kid.
We know. You should have told him that.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to embarrass him, but he knows he's good-looking. He has a mirror, right?
That's a great point. But then again, you think Trevor Lawrence is good-looking also, so what is the compliment?
No, really? No, no. He's not as good-looking as Zach Wilson, but he's a good-looking kid.
You got to stop.
Don compared him to the Elephant Man. That's not right.
I didn't compare him to the Elephant Man. I said if he plays well, it's not going to matter.
He'll look like the Elephant Man.
He'll own the town.
Gotcha. Interesting.
And if he's 0 for, 35 throwing passes and is awful, that good looks won't get him a free cup of coffee.
I think good looks can get you a free cup of coffee, even if you're bad at your job. Let's take a look at this day in Yankee history. I know this is Don's favorite part of the day. It's brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. 1939. We go back to 1939. At Yankee Stadium, Lou Gehrig's streak and career come to an end as the Iron Horse plays his final game, going 0-for-4 in a 3-2 loss to the Senators. The ailing Yankees first baseman, who has only 4 hits in the season, played in 2,130 consecutive games, compiled a .340 batting average with 490 home runs during his 17 Hall of Fame seasons with the Yankees. Now, you want to hear something really spooky, too? If we go even further back on this day in 1923, the Yankees signed a 19-year-old Lou Gehrig out of Columbia University on that day. And then 16 years later, that's the last game that he's in the starting lineup. Same day. That's this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years.
I don't know if you saw this, Michael. Ken Rosenthal reporting.
Tell me, what? Didn't see it.
That the game between the Yankees and the Tigers tonight will be the first game in which two teams will play each other that are 85% more percent vaccinated, which means there'll be no masks required in the dugout or bullpen.
I also read, it wasn't Ken that wrote it, 4 teams have gone over 85%, so 2 of them are right here. And there's another 5 teams that have been vaccinated over 85%, but the 2 weeks after the second vaccine hasn't kicked in yet. So that means that within the 2-week span, there'll be 9 teams that have all these heavy-duty protocols lifted somewhat, and that throughout Major League Baseball, Tier 1 people, the people that are on the field, 81% have been vaccinated. And although Major League Baseball can't tell anybody you have to get a vaccine, the fact that they're willing to lift the heavy-duty protocols, if you get to 85, the teams that are at 81%, they're probably going to walk around the clubhouse and beg people, please get the vaccine so we can leave our hotel and we don't have to wear masks in the dugout. But that's a good point. Tonight is the first game that 2 teams that have been at 85% or more will be playing, so you won't see the mask on in the dugout when they take the trip to the mound. So good stuff there. Speaking of good stuff, Mike Tannenbaum's been all over the draft. He's so good at it. He was on the ESPN radio broadcast with Bart Scott and Kevin Nagandi and who else? There was one other person. it was a there's one other person that's on it. The L. Duncan. She was great. She was great. They were all really good, locked into everything. And they'll be doing it again tonight at 7, but Mike will join us in just a moment, so stick around for that. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg. Zach Wilson was with us, too, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.